Happy Friday, everyone. You tuned in to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call once again. We'll come to you just about every week, and we talk all things FDN, what's going on within Functional Diagnostic Nutrition as an organization, give you some announcements, answer some questions, have a good conversation, just have a good time. So thanks for tuning in again. I'm your host today. I think I've got a co-host coming on here in just a second, but Brandon Mollet. So back with you again. Love this every week, connecting with you folks out there. And I'm hearing good feedback from people that don't always tune in live, because this is a live show on Fridays at 1 o'clock Central Time. But hearing people that say, hey, I never missed a podcast. I listen to it while I'm doing other things. I'm downloaded. I'm checking them out. So thanks, you guys, that don't listen live, but listen later on. So hopefully that's been a benefit to you, and it sounds like it is. So I appreciate when I get to hear that, get the good feedback from what we do each week, just connecting with you guys. It is, date-wise, it is August 16th, 2019. FTN conference is fast approaching. It's November 1st through the 3rd, so big date on my calendar, and I'm ready to roll. Can't wait to see you guys and be with you and listen to some amazing speakers. If you guys are not aware of what I'm talking about, is the FDN conference. It's something we had last year in San Diego, and it was really a 10-year anniversary celebration. But we decided to make it an annual thing. So this is our second conference, bigger and better, we'll say, but first one was really good, so but we'll just say bigger than last time. New venue in San Diego, November 1st through the 3rd. We're going to come together as a big group of caring practitioners and learn from other practitioners. Some amazing speakers lined up there. You guys are seeing the announcements, hopefully, who's coming. Plus, just a time to hang out face-to-face, learn from each other, network, just really to have a good time. So even if you signed up for the course last week, you can still go to the conference, right? So if you sign up, actually, even if you're not even signed up for the course, you certainly can be involved too. We actually had, I think, at least three or four people that came to the conference looking at the course and considering it and end up coming on as new signees and trainees right during the conference. And so that's really awesome. So you're welcome to come, and we'd love to have you to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, November 1st through the 3rd of this year, 2019, San Diego, FDNconference.com. is the website to go through for more details, but we'll keep you posted with things through the newsletter and through AFTNP and through Facebook and all the different ways we communicate these days. So be aware of that and make plans. You guys won't regret it. It'll be an awesome time. I don't have an AFTNP update, but I do know that the recording for the training that Reed did about staying within our scope of practice is uploaded. That's always a popular one when we talk about what we are to do and what we shouldn't do, being within the realm of what we have as most of us are unlicensed practitioners. But we just want to do things properly, right? So we don't want to be looking over our shoulder. We don't want to be worried about what we're doing, the work we're doing. We want to be free to help people. And so Reed will go through that, or has gone through that, all the details of that. Make sure you tune in and check it out. Listen to it. Covered a lot of good information there, so you guys know that you're doing things properly and how you should legally. Again, that way you don't have that weighing on you. You know, we shouldn't be worried about things like that. We do things the right way, and people get helped. So check that out. Let's see. I think those are the main announcements I had for today. So I may be flying solo here today, guys, but you guys are welcome to call in and say hello to me. It's fine. I'm just here lonely on the air, so you guys please, if you want to say hi, you can, or ask a question, make a comment. I'm very happy to have you on. So that number to dial in, old school, is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378 is that number. So just hit 1 on the keypad, and I'll see your hand raised, and I'll bring you on, and we'll talk a little bit. And again, we can answer questions and make comments about things we're talking about. Whatever you want to bring up, we're happy to discuss. We don't shy away from too much on this call. All right. Well, I think I'll jump into questions here. I do see some of you guys on the switchboard there, so thanks for tuning in live. We'll go through some questions here. I've got some older ones. I've got a few that I grabbed from the FDN trainee page and a few other places. But actually, I'll tell you what, before that, something maybe more important is to announce graduates. So almost forgot that, guys. Paper's right here. I wouldn't have forgotten it, but I do want to say congratulations to three folks this week that have completed the course. And I would say it's quite an accomplishment. If you've been through the practicals, if you've watched hours and hours of video, and you have completed a massive written final that takes you some time to work through, that's a good review. And you've completed a verbal final with me at the very end, then you're certified as a practitioner. And so not an easy thing to do, especially with many of us are doing other things. It's not just 12 hours a day of FDM. We have other things that are going on. Life can get in the way sometimes. So it's quite an accomplishment to complete the course. But then, hey, beyond that, we want to hand you over to Brendan, AFTMP, for support after the fact. We want you guys to be successful. That's what it is. It's not just about graduates, but you guys succeeding in whatever level of FDM that you want to do. If you're a full-time, if it's part-time, just helping friends and family, want to make sure that that's the full mission of FDM, people out there helping people get well naturally. So I've got three that I get to congratulate here this week, all in the U.S., and we have three. So I have Sandy Klang. She's from California. I have Deanne Luzaich, and she's from Santa Rosa, California. And then finally on the other coast in New Jersey, I've got Aaron Dernfeld, and he's a regular listener to the podcast. So, Aaron, thanks for tuning in always and being part of that. But, guys, congratulations. Awesome job, and look forward to catching you on the AFTMP side. So just keep going, guys. If you want to graduate, you can do it. Just book in those practicals. They're not that hard. We're not scary. They're really enjoyable. You'll have a good time. You'll learn about yourself. Usually when I complete one with a trainee, the first question I ask is, okay, how do you think it went? Because you're already critiquing, analyzing yourself as you're doing it. So usually many of the things I'll give as feedback back to that person, they've already thought of. And so it's a learning process. So these are all practice. You want to cut your teeth, make mistakes, and do that within a safe environment. That's what those practicals are for. That's how we do that, why we do those. And those have always been a part of the course ever since the very beginning. I love that. So role-playing, one of the best ways you can do to get good at anything. Say it lots and lots and lots of times. Do it a whole lot. That's when you get good at anything in life. So that's what we have in the course and part of the method of learning there. So you have the repetition from the videos. You have the practice doing it there. You get the feedback. You get to write it. You get to speak it. You get to hear it. All those different gates coming into the mind and out. So it works well. You'll know FDN and be certified and ready to go and be confident by the time you finish if you just follow and do those things. All right. Well, I guess we'll do a few questions here, guys. I can hope everybody's doing good out there. And summer's going well. Your businesses are growing. I've noticed this. Many people that complete the course during their verbal final say, yeah, I want to know if I'm graduating because I have people that have been wanting to test with me. I've got clients waiting. Great position to be in. So hopefully that's going well for you too. Just talk about what you're doing. People have a major interest in the kind of work that we do. We seem to say this about every week, but I'll just reiterate that point. It's the wave of the future. It's actually here now, but definitely people want to address their health in this manner. And it's becoming more and more so. I've just noticed that I feel like with the generations, right? So each generation has more of their slant, their bend when it comes to health, the way they look at health. We can help anybody. Nobody's too young or too old, in my opinion, to be benefited by FDN and just a good basic dress protocol, right? We're all going to have some benefit from it. But I've noticed that some of the, quote, younger generations, maybe 20s, 30s, and 40s, they want something different for their health and for their life. They don't necessarily want to do what their parents did or their grandparents did. So they want a different way to think about things and to approach their health. And so those people are out there. So just start putting seed out there. Mention some things about what you're doing. When you talk to somebody, you know, you talk about family, you talk about what you do for recreation, maybe you talk about finances or something like that, and you also talk about your occupation. What do you spend your day doing? So take those opportunities to put that seed out there. You never know what's going to come from that, right? A new client could be waiting there. They might have been reading about FDN, you know, listening to read on a podcast or any of the other number of people that are in our, you know, natural health realm, and they're just looking for somebody, and right now is the timing for them to come on and become a client with you. If they've gotten up to that level of belief and understanding and And also, maybe there's a desperate enough. Things have gotten bad enough. The timing's just right. So you never know. So always be proud to talk about what you do, FTN's methodology, the results your clients have received. Just put it out there. People are very apt to talk about their health. You'll find that, good or bad. Most of the time people complain about their health. But, hey, we have solutions. We can have ways to help them if they're in that position and want to do that. All right. Well, let's do some questions, guys. So let's see. I've got one here that I wanted to talk about last week. And that comes down to the supplementation side of things. Lots of questions on supplements. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, right? So lots of options out there, lots of things you could choose to do. Let's just read the question. Good afternoon. Is there a document that goes into greater depth on the descriptions for the supplement protocol? I would like to have more knowledge of why, when, and how to use. Boy, that's a big one right there. Probably could talk about the whole hour, and I might talk about a good portion of things. So supplementation, our DRESS protocol, right? So diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. So supplements are part of our DRESS protocol. They're one part of it, though, right? So we've got to balance out the diet side and your rest and exercise, activity level, stress reduction, and all its many ways and forms. We talk about reducing stress, and then, of course, supplementation. So it's got to be a balance. I know many people, clients I've had, that just finding out their metabolic type, eating for the type, took care of 75% of the main complaints that they came to me with within weeks. You know, diet is so powerful. You find out what you need to eat. That fuel mixture is just right. Maybe you run an MRT also or a food sensitivity test, and you identify foods that don't jive with their body. Remove those things, get those macronutrients tweaked, and wow, everything just turns on. Cells turn on, energy production, sleep is better, aches and pains start to go away. All these wonderful things can occur with your clients, right? So diet can be a huge thing. Rest can be a huge part of that. The better you do your diet, rest, exercise, and stress reduction, the better the supplements are going to work, right? There are sometimes, though, where sometimes people are so down and they just really have to focus on supplements first, and those are going to get them over that hump. That's some of the relief care that we talk about in the course. So sometimes supplements are almost the first thing you want to focus on for some people because they, for some reason, can't do some of the other things, and that's okay, too. So you find that with each person. So it's not a cookie cutter, oh, you do this every single time. You do it all, but you find for that person what's most important, what's helping them, you know, support them. Sometimes we need that supplementation support. That's okay. And some people, you know, that come to you, I've seen this often, they're doing everything right. They've got actually a pretty good diet, and they rest really well, and they have a regular exercise program, and they know about stress, they're aware of stress, they're trying to manage stress. What they're missing is a really good supplement protocol that's targeted, and of course the lab testing that gives you the insight into what's going on in the body. And those are fun people to work with also, because it's not a lot of groundwork you have to lay. They've got a lot of that. It's just this tweaking, it's this fine-tuning, it's this directing energies towards something they didn't realize was an issue before. So you can help a person that's standard American diet that just doesn't know anything about this. It just knows I don't feel good, and I like a natural approach. To somebody that's really looking for optimization, fine tuning, you know, lose a few pounds, or maybe they just have very few symptoms at all. They just want to make sure their body's running like it needs to with testing. It's going to be a long answer, guys, so hang in there. So supplements are part of what we do, right? So I feel like every client practitioner should be using some sort of supplementation. So are there greater descriptions for supplement protocol? So what I recommend people to do is learn ingredients that are in supplements, not necessarily the names. Yes, in the course we're going to teach you Biomatrix, Ultralife, Biobotanical Research, some other brands that we like. But those are for teaching purposes. You don't necessarily have to use those products. If you want to use something different, that's fine with us. We want something just to teach by and give a start, because we really don't have cookie-cutter protocols. We have things that we could recommend based on what we're seeing on labs, but there's not a this-for-that protocol for every single nuance, every single aspect, certain age, gender. We don't do that way. That's just not how the body works. That's not the FDN way. So what I recommend people to do is look at the ingredients in these products. just like when you go shopping at the grocery store. If it's not shopping around the perimeter, you're grabbing that box or that can or that whatever package carton, and what do? You flip it over and you look at the ingredient list. And so right there, you know, okay, yes, 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 okay, this is good for me, I'm going to purchase this, or nope, 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 definitely not, okay, putting that back on the shelf. So just like you learn ingredients for your food, learn ingredients with supplements. So look and see what's in there. So that's what I did in the course. I looked at everything we offered, and I looked at the individual ingredients, and if I didn't know them already, I researched them. I didn't spend 3 days looking at each one, but I had a feel for, okay, what are they trying to accomplish with this particular ingredient? What does it do in the body? That way, if you are somewhere where we don't have biometrics, you can't get biometrics, something happens to that product, it goes away, something shifts and changes as things can in the industry, you will know ingredients. So you can say, okay, well, look, here's another company here. They have something that sounds a little like this biometrics product I'm used to. Well, look at the ingredients. Okay, yeah, it's real similar ingredients here. I know what that's doing. I know what that's doing. I know what that's doing. So instead of saying, oh, this particular profile on 205, oh, you recommend support adrenals, or you recommend Adaptaline, or you recommend holy basil tea or something. It's not like that. So think more about individual ingredients and what you're trying to accomplish with those. So that's first step right there. Know what you're recommending. And really for your clients, you need to know what's in those all those products, right? Because sometimes you don't want to recommend something because they have a sensitivity to it. So you want to be aware of that. Or there's a certain ingredient or filler that might be in that product. If it's rice or corn or gluten or whatever is in different products, it's a huge, big industry, right, or a filler that's not good for that person. You need to be aware of that. And say, okay, there's turmeric in this, and usually it's good for people, but the MRT said turmeric's bad. Okay, well, I need to find something else, some other product that's similar that will do the same job that I'm trying to accomplish, just a turmeric-free version. That's an example. That's relatively common. Maybe garlic comes up on the MRT, or they know they already have a sensitivity to garlic. Well, I'm probably not going to recommend Alamax for antibacterial work. Plain and simple, I'll use something else out there. We have lots of things you can choose for that. It says also, would you like to have more reason knowledge why, when, and how to use? So I guess the when and how to use, that's either going to be on the label of the supplement, or there'll be instructions there on the 90-day protocol sheet. So get used to looking at that sheet and be familiar with it. We usually have the recommendations there of when to take it, how many to take, how long to take it what time of day, with food, without food, morning, night, all those different things. So be a student of the industry of products. Learn about those individual products. Now, there's a lot of marketing out there, and there's also some science out there, so you have to differentiate between those. But also the proof's in the pudding too, right? So let's try it. If people do really well with it, you know, you're going to find your favorites. You're going to find things that you like the most. I've got my favorites. I think every practitioner has their favorites. So let's see. Oh, and then the dosages or the amounts, right? So something we teach in the course is a very simple process, and it's called sequence and titration, right? So that means you don't start all of the supplements that you're going to recommend, there's 10 you're going to recommend to a person or suggest, we don't start them all at one time, right, at full dosages. So that's why those amounts are there. So the person's going to start with one at a time at a low dose. Maybe it's one Adaptaline, for example. First day, they do one Adaptaline with breakfast. Second day, they're feeling good. Okay, take two, one with breakfast, one with lunch. All right, and maybe they're going to get up to four. So two with breakfast and then two with lunch. They work their way up, give it 2 or 3 days there, work up. As long as the person's feeling good or better or neutral, continue on. Work the way up to the maximum doses on that piece of paper. And then if that's still going good, then you add the next one, right? So there's the titration portion. Part of it is the dosage of that individual supplement. And the sequence portion is the order. Which order do you put them in? And it's one thing at a time. Now, through that process, if a person has anything negative to occur, don't feel as well, wear some weird symptom, headache, diarrhea, I don't know, whatever, you know, they just don't feel something negative, right, they don't feel very good, they need to pause, probably reach out to you, or just pause in general and say, okay, maybe this is not good for me. This is the beauty of this process, because it's troubleshooting for you as a practitioner. You don't have to do as much work. It's easier. But also, just like lots of what we do with FDN, is an exercise in observation, self-observation, slowing down, taking a minute to listen to what the body, how it's responding, what it's doing with food, with diet, with exercise, with rest, with stress reduction. You know, that's the name of the game. So through that process, they get to listen to their body and learn their body even more so. So train them in that process. That's what we want to do. We want to not have to as much work to do. Right? If their person starts taking all 10 supplements at once at full dosages and they call you with a headache and a cough or something weird going on, I'm going to say to that person, well, it's probably not the right thing to do. You went a little too fast. So we need to go back to square one. Start from the beginning and one at a time work your way up. You'll find out some of your clients already know that they are very sensitive to supplementation, to medication, so they're going to have to go a little bit slower. Other people can just, you know, throw back a handful of supplements and no problem at all. Each person is going to be different. That's the basics. Now, a person having a negative reaction to supplements, let's talk about that a little bit. So sometimes it could be truly an allergic response. For some people, it could just be too much of a certain ingredient that's in there. Could be just too much of the whole product in general for that person. So sometimes you do need to get on the phone and talk with your client or email or text, whatever you want to do. Phone for me is easiest, it's quickest, most efficient, because I usually have lots of questions to ask them. And see if you can determine if it's a die-off situation, if it's just a herxing situation that they maybe want to push through a little bit or dial back a little bit. You have to determine, is it something where you say, nope, let's stop this supplement totally, it's not good for you, move on to the next one. Or it's just, you know, let's back it up a little bit and see if you feel good on a half dosage. That's very possible, right? That's why we have the titration side of things. We think four, their body says two. All right, two is your dose. That's the effective dose for you. It's having a positive effect on your body at that level. Too much is too much. Okay, next, add in the next one. And you add in the next product, next product, next product. Other places where you can get information, I would say, is obviously you're going to do practicals. So you're going to have opportunity there to create and craft these protocols, which is very fun to do. And you're going to get feedback from the mentor on those. With AFTMP, we have a case study library, Detective Hour, and we have people going through their cases. So you're going to cover the supplement side of that. So you have lots of information there that you can look and how people have done things and different ways to approach it. I will say supplementation-wise, that there is no one right protocol for anybody. There's lots of different ways to think about it and to do it. So I think that's part of where the apprehension comes. I feel when it comes to, oh, I've got to put this protocol together, I don't really know, I'm not feeling very confident about it, blah, blah, blah. Most of that, I think, comes from lack of preparation and also thinking that there's only one right protocol. You know, the mentor or whoever you're working with, they're looking for, like, there's only one right one. It's like math, right? It's not just 2 + 2 = 4. There's lots of different ways to look at this. There's the art side and the science side of this. So don't get too, I guess, fear paralyzing you or analysis paralysis, whatever the phrase is there. Don't analyze it to death. Just put together what you think is right. Go into that session with your client with, you know, obviously doing your work, getting down to the details, getting a good feel for that person, but leave some room for course correction and for new information and potential changes during that session. That's a big thing. I used to go into my sessions with clients, maybe over-prepared, maybe, or not leaving enough room for the flow of the conversation, new information I might find. So, well, I do my work and I prepare for the session properly. I don't over-prepare. I let things happen organically and naturally. And you'll get more to that point as you progress and do more work like this. But going to that session, expecting that protocol maybe to change and shift a little bit. Once they say something new or different, or you talk to them and you think, well, based on the intake form and the test result, this is the direction I'm going. But then they say something that takes you off in a little bit of a different direction. that's okay. That doesn't mean you missed something or you messed up, whatever. It means you're a good practitioner and you're listening to your client and hearing from them and getting the truth, right? Because it's all about root cause and the truth and what the reality is for this person. That's sort of the philosophy that we live by. That's what we're trying to find out. So that's a good thing that you listen and you made a change, you made an adjustment. That'll also happen as you work with your client in the future. So there's your follow-up sessions you're going to have. There's going to be course correction. There's going to be changes that will occur. So you have to know your ingredients well and your supplementation. Combine that with everything else that they're doing. And that's where it really gets really fun. That's where things start to unfold. That's when you get the reports of all these symptoms improving, them feeling better and understanding more about their body. And it's become a natural part of the way they live. Now their family is doing better things for their health. They told their friends about it. Their friends are getting better. And it sort of spreads in a really good way. All right, maybe that's enough about supplements. Hopefully that was helpful, what this person was looking for. But if you're looking for some sort of, you know, cookie cutter, some sort of here, you know, here's what you do every single time, it's just not that way. And that's just how it is. It's not a black and white. There's some gray to it. And that's okay. So you'll get used to it. that's the good thing. Yeah, but just keep doing your homework. That's what I would say. Get in there. Make some cheat sheets. That's one thing I'll say also that I did. I made some cheat sheets. So I put the product in there. I put the ingredients, what the individual ingredients were, what they would do, what their goal is, how they think they work in the body, what they do. And then if I heard somebody say something about that product, I'd go over and put a little note in there. And so I would have whatever support liver, and I knew the individual ingredients, but a mentor or a colleague said, hey, I use it for this, I've seen it work really well for this, or here's when I have chose to use this. I can add that you sort of make your own cheat sheet in a way if you want to. Eventually you won't need that anymore. I probably haven't looked at mine for years at this point because you get better at it. And that's the progression, right? So you're going to get better and better at your craft. It's going to become easier. It's going to be more fluid. You just get better. So it's just a time thing. Don't give up too early. Don't quit after 6 months or a year or think you've mastered everything. Keep doing it. I think it's the problem with, it's a big problem I feel like today in the world. People don't stick things out for very long. They give it a try and try it for a little while. If it goes great, great. If it doesn't, okay, I quit. I'm going to move on to something else. I think if you have taken this course, you've got a major calling. I'll use that phrase. On your life to do this work, to do something powerful. And sometimes it doesn't come fast. And sometimes there's some tough things to move through. But if you look back at where you started, you think, wow, I made a lot of improvement here. Look how much easier it is for me to do this now and this now and this now. It takes a little bit of time. And that's okay. It's just part of it. That's how you master something. It takes years to master something. So just have that in your mindset that I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going for however long it takes for me to feel really comfortable with this. And that's how we grow when we look back and say, wow, how cool. I'm going to see if I can find something I saw on Facebook that was, I thought, beneficial here. Let me see if it pertains. Oh, this is good. I like some of these things. They keep me motivated and thinking about this, so I'll go on this tangent for a second here. So it says, a year ago, you started working out. Now you love your body. You launched your podcast. Now people are tuned in. You started a business. Now you can out-earn your 9-to-5 job. You ask that special person out. Now you're in love. And it says, no, that didn't happen. You were afraid to take that first step. I think that's powerful. Right, so take that first step. You never know where it's going to lead. Sometimes we do things just on a feeling, on faith. We just step out there and do things. That's what I did with FDN. I made a total career change, left what I knew before, which I liked pretty good, and the IT side of things was pretty fun. I still do that. Made that change. Actually called up, you guys know my story, I think, but actually this Tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow will be my 9-year anniversary since I graduated the FDN course. So I already started the FDN course about a year before that, but official graduation date is tomorrow, 9 years ago. I'm happy and proud to say that. I look at my diploma there, certificate, and say, oh, there's the date there. How cool. So I took a chance, took a plunge. I listened to read on Sean Croxton's podcast, Under Gun Wellness, years ago, and said, wow, this seems like a pretty cool thing. Maybe this is what I'm looking for. And I called up Sean Croxton to hire him to be my FDN practitioner. And I thought, you know, this is a really cool thing. I need to improve my health. What can I do here? And I talked to Sean, and he said, you know, talking with you, I think you just need to take the FDN course because you want to make a career change. With the FDN course, you're going to get to work on your own health. You're going to run labs. You're going to have somebody look over those. So what I would be doing with you, you're going to be getting with the course in a lot of ways. Why don't you call up Reed and take the course? So I got Reed's phone number there and called him up and talked with him about 4 times. I had a list of questions on every single conversation, which Reed was so patient to answer for me, which is, I know Reed now, it's not exactly sometimes his nature to, he's definitely a let's do this thing, jump in. I'm much more cautious in my approach. And so he was always very encouraging in me just to take the leap, just like I was reading with that post there on Facebook. Take the leap, take a step of faith, see what's going to happen. So learn to operate more that way. Life is better that way, I'll tell you that for sure. But talk with Reed multiple times. Felt like this was the direction to go and signed up for the course, I guess almost 10 years ago, honestly now, but graduation 9 years ago on Saturday. And have loved every minute of it and haven't looked back. I've met some amazing people, had some amazing mentors throughout the course, throughout my time, awesome coworkers that I've gotten to spend a lot of time with, work together. Obviously, train a lot of practitioners, which is amazing. It's in the hundreds for me right now. I don't know the exact number, but I know it was probably pushing 700-800 people at least last time I looked. And then, of course, medical director consults. I get to talk with you guys out there as you're running labs and the work that you're doing and your practices, how you're helping people, how it's growing, and I get to learn from you. So you know, I look back and say, wow, if I hadn't taken that plunge and done that and invested a little bit of money and some time, a lot of time into that, where would I be? So maybe where you're at today, and maybe not just taking the FDN course, maybe something else in life. Maybe it comes when you get middle-aged here. So I'll be 40 in October. So maybe you start to think about those things. You look back at life and say, well, is it exactly how you want it to be? Statistically, maybe it's half over. Maybe I want to do something different here. So I'd rather live life without regrets, saying, well, what if I would have done that? You know, what's the worst that can happen? So jump up there and do it. Maybe that's the theme for right now. Maybe it's the full moon or the time of year, harvest, I don't know. But that's what's in my spirit, and I've been thinking about quite a bit lately of just jumping out and being bold sometimes and seeing what happens. That's just a monologue today, guys, so it's whatever's sort of coming in my head, honestly, and hopefully it's beneficial to you. All right. Well, hey, if you got a question, you're welcome to ask it or comment on what I'm making comments on. I've covered one question today. Man, I'm doing awesome. That number is 347-637-1378 is that number if you want to call in and say hey. Or if you're on the switchboard right now, you want to hit 1 on your keypad, I'll see you and you guys can come on and we can talk a little bit. All right, let's find another question to go over. There's a couple here that are... Okay, let's talk about this. This is more of a business one. All right, so a person here is asking about, it's a package question. How often do you do coaching calls with your clients in a 90-day program? I'm trying to figure out what package with appointments and online coaching support. Do you schedule a weekly call or every 2 weeks for R&R while keeping them accountable, motivated with emails? Boy, lots of different ways you can do this, and I don't know that there's really a wrong way. I think it comes down to results. I've tried it many different ways. What I do right now, I feel like it works for me as far as my business, my personality, my clients, ultimately results. I feel like it's good. Now, Doesn't mean I don't tweak things and adjust things. I made a few adjustments here in the last 6 months or so that were beneficial, so I'm still learning the whole process. I think we all need to be open to things, maybe try some different things along the way. But so I just think whatever feels good to you, whatever feels like you're getting the results and people, you know, client-wise is giving you feedback. For me, I like to do every 2 weeks after the R&R. Sometimes I will do a coaching session before the R&R if it's for waiting for results to come in. So I have a session, and maybe their MRT has come back, for example, because those come back pretty quickly, right, 3 or 4 days. Usually it's in my mailbox after they do the blood draw. I might go over just the MRT right before we do the full R&R and start working on some of the diet aspects and maybe hydration, something real basic and simple. So they're starting to do something, because most of the time people sign up to work with you, hopefully, you vetted them, they're ready to go. So I don't want them waiting around a month for me to tell them something to do. People can get discouraged, right? So I want to get moving and seeing some results. So doing the MRT and working on some basic aspects of dress that you know from their intake forms can make a big difference to start with. So sometimes I'll do that, and we'll have a big R&R session, cover all their test results, and lay out the basic plan of what we're going to do, and then I meet every 2 weeks for 45 minutes with my clients. That's what I feel is good. So that's what's built into my packages is how I operate. And for me, that works the best. I feel like for me, depending on the client, but generally a week is not enough time. Not enough has changed and happened in 1 week. A month, 3 weeks or a month, too much water under the bridge. Things can go awry quickly with the person. And if they don't follow up with you, they maybe are suffering unnecessarily. Maybe you can make a tweak that would help them feel better. And you know, if you've done this work for any amount of time, there will be 6, 8, 10, whatever number of roadblocks and hurdles they have to jump along the way, along this journey. It's just going to happen with everybody. It could be health things. It could be mental, emotional. It could be family. It could be all sorts of things. There's going to be some hurdles. And so I feel like regular coaching either anticipates some of those hurdles, or once they get to that point where they are stuck, then you can lock arms with them, help them get over that wall, and you keep running. And then you're going to hit another one. So I think for me, every 2 weeks is a sweet spot. Anticipate some of those brick walls that they could run into. And typically those are the brick walls that stopped them previously. So that's why I'm a big, strong advocate of having regular coaching built into your packages and never deviating from that. Oh, yeah, we'll just run a 205 and we'll do a follow-up session and see how it goes. I wouldn't recommend that. Even for close friends, family, I wouldn't do that at all. I've done it with family, and it doesn't work good because they're just like everybody else. They just have your same last name, right? So every 2 weeks for me is important, and having those sessions in there, regular sessions, that's what gets people past that hump. I've had multiple clients say to me, you know, if we didn't meet on a regular basis, I didn't get a text from you every once in a while, I probably would have quit like I've done before. But it's been your help and your encouragement and your ideas and the things we've been doing, reminders of why I'm doing this and going back to why they started to work with you in the first place. You know, go back to your 8 questions there that you wrote down when you talked with them. Go back to those things, why I'm doing this. That's why people hire a coach. That's why we've got so much influence and so much power in a good way in somebody's life. We bring a lot of benefit and good to their lives. And many times I feel like that if people tend to, they know they peter out in 3 months or 2 months, let's say 2 months. If you keep going, keep those habits in there for 3 months, that could be something they do the rest of their lives. I think it's that powerful. You can get past that point. There's something mentally that shifts, biochemically that switches, spiritually shifts. Something shifts if you do something long enough. Because that's the ideal, right, is to work intensely, therapeutically, really strong in the first few months with the person to address as much malfunction as we can. Then, ultimately, you have to continue on some level of your dress protocol, maybe not quite as strict as you did before, but you're going to have to do something when it comes to your diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. So maintenance is the key. I wish, and I want every one of my clients to, once every time I see them, to say, hey, first of all, they say hi to me, and because they were happy with how I work with them, they aren't upset. Or they say hi to me because they're not ashamed that they've slipped backwards. But I want to see them looking just as good, and energy and pep, and them say, hey, I'm still free of whatever symptom, or this has been changed. This is so wonderful. I'm doing good. I'm continuing to do my dress protocol. All the things you taught me were super helpful. We do them, you know, we use them with our kids and family, and it grows and it gets better and better and better. So that's the goal. That's the ideal. So sometimes having those longer sessions and going longer and regular intervals can get you to that point with that person. So don't underestimate the power that we have as practitioners. And just a conversation. Maybe you don't always feel like talking to your clients every single day. You know, it's kind of rare day that I feel that way. But most of the time, I can't wait to talk to people and see how things are going and help them troubleshoot and figure those things out. Visualize that session going really well, right? Have your notes prepared. Have a person in your mind. That way you know what they're dealing with. You don't have to shuffle and double-check your notes on some things. Have that person in your mind. Be well prepared to speak to that person. And see where the conversation goes. Maybe something really impactful during that session that you're like, wow, okay, that made an impact on them. I can tell maybe it was an emotional moment. Maybe it was just a moment of realization that occurred. You know there's something there. Or something you said to them a month ago comes back now, and they say, you know, you said that to me, you know, a few sessions ago last month, and that has stuck in my head, and that has just helped me so much. Well, that's gratifying. So we never know what you're saying and what you're depositing in a person's life and how it's going to, you know, yield fruit and grow over the course of time. So I say emphatically, don't skimp on packages. Don't skimp on that. Don't skimp on the sessions. Make sure you've got 3 to 6 months to work with somebody. I think it's needed. It's doing them right because they're investing with you, right? They're investing their heart and their energy with you. They're investing their money with you, a lot of effort with you. I want them to get results. Like I feel very responsible for that. Now I can't take that on. That's the wrong way to do things. But it's a lot of responsibility. I want that person, I have a vision of where I want them to be, where they can be, where their body will go and their mind will go if we can see this thing through. And so we need to do that. We need to say, hey, yeah, my package is $3,000 and we spend 6 months together. Whoa, okay, that's a lot of money. But don't apologize for that. That shouldn't come out of your mouth, fumble through it, right? We should say it confidently because you know what you're offering that person. You better be sold on the process. You better be sold on the value that you're bringing to somebody. Otherwise, they'll never believe it either. So if you're not getting clients, people aren't coming to work with you, you may be an awesome practitioner, but you don't have your belief where it needs to be. Maybe that's something you got to check. You got to work on for yourself. All right, let's see. Let me see if I answered this question completely. Emails, yeah, you can email people. You can certainly do that if you want to set up some kind of thing that goes automatically. Check in with them. I have a few clients that ask me to send them a text on daily or weekly or every once in a while. They just felt like that they needed a little bit of a reminder. And in some cases, if I'm able to do that, I will. You know, that's part of the level of support I try to offer. That may be totally out of the question for some people. They're super, super busy. They have, you know, 100 clients every month you're getting. It's really hard to do that, so automation may be it. But if you want that personal touch, maybe you do send out a little text or a little reminder. Hey, how's your water drinking going today? You know, have you stayed hydrated? Have you increased your fat intake? You know, hope things are going good. How are you today? Just a little something there just to remind them. You can do that, but sometimes it's that personal touch that we need. And that's, again, why I feel like FTM practitioners are so different from most other folks out there, maybe even some in the natural realm, but for sure in the medical system. You know, when you go to your doctor, you get 10, 15 minutes maybe, right? There's like a certain amount of time they can give to you. They can't really listen to everything going on. They can't be there to encourage you. You call up there to talk to the doctor. Who do you talk to? Nurse, receptionist. Right, it's just the model's not bad necessarily. It's just not set up to give you that personal touch and that encouragement that a person really needs because we're humans, right? We're not numbers. We're not serving the next person. We're not the number on the test result. We're not the lab number there. We're real people that maybe need something that you can offer to that person. It was just a caring, a listening ear. Sometimes it's a shoulder to cry on a little bit. Walk somebody through something. Now, you got to care about people. in this business, and you got to be okay with that too. Now you got to balance it with business, right? We can't have 4-hour sessions with people unless you're, you know, charging for that, I guess. But it has to be within certain bounds. Otherwise, you can't make a profit and you can't sustain it. It's not about making millions of dollars. It's about sustainability. No margin, no mission, right? You've heard Reed talk about that before. No margin, no mission. So if you run out of money, you can't keep working. You've got to make some money. So there is a balance with that. You can't go just hog wild with the time, business-wise. But everybody does that individual, on an individual basis, and who you are and what you feel led to do with people. All right, random thought today, guys. So just getting whatever, like I said, comes out on the subject. And this is how I do things. This is the way that I think. You know, Brendan might think a little bit differently. We're pretty close on our approach to things, so probably not too much differently. If he was here, he'd probably back me up. Reed might think a little differently than me, Tess and Shannon and Sandra and Christy and all medical directors and everybody out there, Brandy doing her work, all a little bit different. And that's the cool thing about FDN. It's the basics. It's the foundational way that we work, the way that we think. But it's also your business and your personality and your clientele and the way you want to do things and your flavor and your everything, your essence, your being comes into your business. And certain people will be drawn to that. That's why there's enough clients out there. It's why we can collaborate and not compete, because there's plenty of people out there to work with. You just have to find the right people that are right for you. And sometimes you have to turn people away. They're just not a good fit for what we do or maybe for you. You know, and ultimately, we're trying to better their – it's for their good. Sometimes we have to say no. But that's how I work, the way I think about things. Take that, you figure it out. Like we said, it's going to take some time for you to figure those things out. Fortunately, we have AFTMP in the community that helps you figure those things out more quickly, maybe than it was for me without AFTMP. But you have that support. You have the community. You can throw these questions out here on the Facebook page, right? Get feedback. Get responses from all these wonderful practitioners out there, from us. We monitor those pages too. And we can give you some ideas. And something will stick. Something will resonate with you. All right. Little hydration there. All right, so good stuff. Well, there's a few minutes left in the call, 12 minutes and 19 seconds, it says, on the switchboard here. So if you do have a question, want to make a comment, you certainly can. Hit 1 on your keypad if you're dialed in now, or 347-637-1378. You listen to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, August 16th, 2019. Again, I'm your host, Brandon Molay. FDN mentor, practitioner, clinical advisor, love it. Love my job, love my life, what we get to do, how we get to help people. It's pretty tremendous. So jump on and join us. All right. I think I had one more that maybe I can cover a short amount of time here. Here's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever heard this asked before. I think it's kind of neat to think about this. This is a good one for Brendan to be on with me and give his side of this. But so they want to know what technically qualifies as fatigue, because I feel like it's a specific term that I feel like it's a specific term that I don't feel like I actually know what it's how it's defined. Sorry guys, I'll get together here in a second. I mean, I love to sleep. But doesn't everyone like to sleep? What's the difference between being tired, like we all are here in this city, and actually being fatigued? So, yeah, so good question. I think probably if you looked up a dictionary definition or a medical dictionary definition, you might get different terms or different definition of these words. But I think it really comes down to what do people mean in the real world when you say I'm fatigued. So when I see fatigue as part of the main complaints, because your top five main complaints typically are going to be weight loss, poor sleep, fatigue, low energy, probably some chronic disease. What else? Probably it, right? That's kind of big one. Maybe digestive things. Okay, so that's the biggest things that you come across people have complaints about. So when I see somebody writes fatigued, tired, low energy, one of those phrases, during the onboarding session with them or talking with them, just in conversation, I'm going to ask more details about that. So that's what I would say. When somebody says fatigue, I don't know if they know what they mean. So I'm going to say, well, what do you mean by fatigue? So it's this, you know, does it mean that you, you know, physically, your physical body is really heavy and tired and you don't want to move and around, but your mind's pretty sharp? Because people have that going on. I've talked to many brilliant people that are super fatigued in the bed all day, but their brain works amazingly well. I'm so impressed. Or vice versa, right? Body's good, brain doesn't work very well. Is it, you know, the sleep side of things? Is it, what is it? What do they mean by fatigue? Can you describe it? Is it certain times of day you feel fatigued? Do you have an afternoon drop? Do you wake up super tired? Do you have to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night? You couldn't stay up to 10 o'clock if you wanted to. Sometimes I'll feed them some of those things to ask a little more detail, because each one of those little points there, when they're in that symptom and that phrase or word of fatigue, can give you some insight. I know directions where you might want to go. Does it seem like, seem like that's a, you know, just a poor sleep thing? Seem like it's more of a thyroid thing, more of an HPA axis dysfunction thing? How's the gut intertwined with this? Is it diet or lifestyle thing? Is their schedule? Why does their body not make energy? Is it mental, emotional, spiritual? You know, why is their body not making energy? They're not lazy. They're just tired. They're not overweight because they're lazy people. It's because their body can't utilize the food they're consuming, and it can't detoxify the waste properly. And signaling is not right with the neurotransmitters and the brain chemistry and the hormone side of things. We've got imbalances in gut flora. We have foods that their body doesn't feel good with. Why is your body not doing that? So I just ask more questions about that. Have them clarify. I had one this morning talking to, said digestion was an issue. Okay, well, what do you mean by digestion? Okay, well, it means that, okay, food sets really heavy. I have constipation issues. You know, even when they say, I ask about how are your bowel movements, are they regular? That's a dangerous question, right? Because you never know what you're going to get from that answer. Oh, yeah, it's regular once a week or once every 3 days. You know, get a little more description. Ask some questions. Play 20 questions with people. That's okay to do. You know, you have to get the detail down to see exactly what they're talking about, get a good feel for that. Plus, I think what that does, it shows that you care, because we do, and probably nobody's asking the details on that so much. So while you don't want to get too down in the weeds with symptoms, it's okay to ask that. Just have a conversation, go and build some rapport with that person. Maybe this is a sad thing, but you know, maybe their spouse doesn't want to hear about it, doesn't want to know the details. It's too much for them to hear. Friends don't care about it. Maybe the doctor says they're crazy. Here's some medication for your mind. It's where it's coming from. Maybe you're the only ones really listen to them in depth on their health challenges. That's a pretty honorable, awesome spot to be in, I feel like. You're the one that listens. And you're probably going to be chomping at the bit a little bit, pretty excited when you're hearing them talk about their health challenges, because you just can't wait to tell them how you can help them and what you do. But take that time to listen. Get a good feel for that person, where they're coming from, so you can best advise them. You might pick up on some things during that call that says, don't know if they're a good fit for me. And in that case, you could be thinking about where you can refer them to. Reed said that to me years ago. He said, if they're not somebody that you're going to work with, at least give them somebody they can go to, tell them to read some book, give them some sort of suggestion so they walk away with something from you instead of just, okay, another person that thinks they can't help me. Give them something if they're not a good fit for you. I think it's a kind thing to do. Yeah, so back to the original question here. So fatigue, yeah, what does anybody mean by that? So I said, well, what do you mean by this? That's a fine question to ask, and you get more specific about that. Maybe a surprise, maybe something you didn't expect at all. All right, let's see. 5 minutes left in the call. So one last time for hands raised if you guys have a question. Thanks, you guys that are listening live, and hope you guys that are listening on the replay or the download. Thanks for tuning in each week. All right, maybe I've got a quick question I can answer. Let me see what I have here. One kind of random one here, supplementation-wise, that pertains a little bit to what we're talking about with supplements. It says, it is recommended to take Interface Plus for 2 weeks before taking the 401H test. Are there any side effects to taking the full dose from day one, or should we start with the lower dose and work up? Well, you heard my answer previously, definitely lower dose and work up. I think with that one in particular, because what's that product doing? So going back to the original question there, what do we do with supplements? Go learn about the individual ingredients in that particular product, right? So the Biofilm Buster is an enzyme-based one. What do enzymes do? They break bonds and they break stuff up. So because you're taking that on an empty stomach, it's going to go and it's going to scavenge and it's going to break up stuff. It's going to dislodge and sort of stir the waters up and kick up some dust. And so through that process, a person sometimes, I've had this happen often, actually a person feels a lot better taking it. Digestion's better or something, their bowel movements are better, they just feel better on it. They feel their teeth are cleaner because the biofilm's breaking down. Have people report that. But many people could report also, just like any other supplement, something negative, right? So they may not be able to handle 8 a day. Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 2, maybe it's none. You try it and it helps with the sampling side of things, increases the chances of finding something because we're breaking up some biofilm. We're hoping to see some things, more things come out in the stool. So it's stirring things up a little bit. So that can be rough on some people, right? So take it slow. If that person knows they don't feel good with it when they do a, quote, detox, or they're just a real sensitive person to begin with, we'll take it really slow and work up what you can and get to the highest dose you can within that couple-week period and say that's good enough. Let's take the sample and go on from there. So that question I feel like is answered by my previous answers about how you look at supplementation and then taking it slow and listening to the body. All right. Well, there's a couple minutes left in the call today. I think we'll call it a day. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. I like coming on with you guys each week and updating you and getting to read off graduate names and congratulate some folks that accomplished quite a feat. So Sandy, Deanne, and Aaron, again, congratulations. Great job. And guys, we'll be on next week with some more questions. And guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.